What a joy to come together and worship the Lord, lift up his name in song. Amen. Amen. We're continuing through the book of 1 Corinthians, coming up to the end. Two more services, and then we will be finally out. But in the scriptures today, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul is giving some final commands to us as a church, to the church at Corinth, and then ultimately to us. And after he has dealt with many, many issues through these 16 chapters, remember just kind of the context of what's taking place is the church at Corinth is in a very different type, in a world that is very pagan. Many people are calling the church to become like everybody else. There are many that have been saved in the church at Corinth, and they are there, and they know Christ as their Savior, but they are tempted to embrace paganism again and to bring that within the church and not to live lives that are different. I'll tell you what, you talk about a message that is pertinent for you and I today, where we live in a world that wants to permeate us instead of us permeating the world. The church is to be different. It always has been. It always will be called to be different. Paul addresses the behavior that they've had, and we've looked at so many different things. We've looked at their immorality and the way that they've taken the Lord's Supper, and they were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, and we just see all of these issues that's taking place, and he dealt with the theology problems that were taking place, and then he looked at, and we'll even look at it again in our text today. If we get there, if y'all listen fast enough, we'll get there. But in 1 Corinthians 13, how that we are to do everything in our lives out of the motive of love, first of all for the Lord and then for others. And Paul once again comes along and he is giving as if he's giving marching orders to the troops. He's laid out all the, he's dealt with all of the issues. He's laid out how that they ought to think, and he's coming in here at the last part of the book and he's lining out some final things that he wants them to remember as he closes out this book to the Corinthians. We see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 14, he says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love." Some pretty easy words to grab hold of and to think through as we go through the Christian life. And I want us to take a look at these as we go through this morning. That idea of being watchful. Are you watchful within your life? Other translations would put it, be on guard or be on alert. Years ago, whenever I was in high school and in college, I've shared with you before that I have worked in clothing retail and sold a lot of clothes over the years. And I remember in the first store that I worked at was a French store called Jacques Penney. Anybody know what that is? J.C. Penney, all right? And worked there for 5 years. And I remember we had two or three different managers while we were there. But the one that hired me was Mr. Hoggett. And Mr. Hoggett, one of the things that he would constantly walk out on the floor, and he was constantly reminding us to watch out, be alert about some different things. One of the things that he was always wanting us to be on the alert for was that oftentimes our district manager would come in and just do a pop inspection. I mean, he'd just walk in, and we wouldn't know that he was there, and he would just kind of blend in. In Ponca City, it was headquarters for Conoco Oil, so it was not anything abnormal for somebody to be walking in with a suit on, because we'd had the executives and all those different ones that would be coming in all the time with suits, so he just kind of blended in with a lot of people that would come into the store. He said, you know what, just always watch out. Know that he could come in and do a pop inspection on you. Some of the other things he always had us to be watchful for were for shoplifters. If you worked in retail, you know that takes place. We didn't have as many in that store as we did the next store that I worked in, but it was one of those things that we did. We just were always watching and watching, especially for customers. The greatest way to take care of shoplifters was to make sure that you gave good customer service, because they knew that you saw them and they knew that you were there, and you just watched for them, and they didn't do anything because they knew you were there. But as you were doing that, one of the things that you would do is you'd watch for customers. And always the opportunity to make a sale. He was very instrumental in coming to us each and every day that whenever I worked the day shift on occasion, and we missed our sales goal the day before. And he'd walk up to us, every one of us working at the register in the morning, and he'd say, "You know what? If you had sold 2 pairs of socks yesterday, and everybody in the store had sold 2 pairs of socks, we would have made our sales goal yesterday." So, I mean, we were just always on watch for these kind of things. And it's that idea of how that we are to be that way in the Christian life. We are to be watchful about many different things the Scripture calls us to watch for. One of the things would be, and even as we're watchful, it's that idea that we wake up and that we're not just sleepy or just waiting for the things of life to come on. As you know, one of my favorite shows is Andy Griffith, and I was watching the other day one of my shows, and they had anybody remember Asa on the Andy Griffith show? He was the guard at the bank, all right? And he would sit there and sleep in the chair at the bank. And this particular show, Barney was convinced the bank was going to get robbed. And so he was in there and he dressed up like the cleaning lady and went in there and tried to steal money. And they caught him before, you know, while Asa slept, the little bank teller caught her and all of this stuff. And Barney walked up to Asa and goes, "You're about to be robbed." And he draws that gun and the pistol falls apart and it just turns into a mess, and he's asleep on the post, and he looks and inspects it, and the bullets are molded. It's just horrible. And the idea he's trying to get to Asa was, "You know what, you need to just wake up and at least know what's going on." And it's that same idea within the church, within the Christian life, that we need to be awake, we need to be on watch for what's coming about. You see in the first one there, be on watch, number one, for the return of Christ. You talk about a motivation for us to be watchful. It is the realization that Christ is coming. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Folks, if we live our lives with the realization that Jesus is coming, it will literally change how that we live. You understand, if he is coming tomorrow, how are you going to operate? You are not going to want to do anything that would be displeasing to him. I'll never forget reading this text. I don't remember who it was that said, and I made the statement. They said, "You know what? There is one thing in my life that I do that I sure hope the Lord doesn't come when that's taking place." Folks, that's not our heart. Our heart is he could come anytime, because he could. And we live with that realization day in and day out. Sunday night we walked through, as we're going through Jude in the book of Romans chapter 1, and we just looked at how that society is spiraling down. And it's amazing how that the immorality of today was talked about would take place in Romans chapter 1. And it is doing exactly what Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it is going down that way just like it did then. Like it was told would take place 2,000 years ago. Watch. Be awake. Even as in the Revelation, "Lord Jesus, come. I hope today is the day." And as we're doing that, we're telling people about Christ, because we realize that if we haven't told them, he's coming and you won't have an opportunity again. You understand that you want to be found the exact way to living this life as you would want to be found. You see, Paul, all throughout the Corinthians, he has addressed these issues. He says, you know what? You don't want to be found in this kind of immorality and this kind of wrong thinking in your lives. Be on watch. Watch out for these things. Throughout the scriptures, we see that it says to be on watch for Satan. And realize that he is alive and he is powerful. You notice 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Folks, do you understand that? You've got to be aware of what's around and what is at work and trying to pull you away. Be watchful. As the word which says here in the text, understand there are those that desire to pull you away that are even controlled by Satan himself. And you notice he says he prowls around. I love it. It says he's like a roaring lion. He's not. Folks, if you're in a cage with a roaring lion, you better watch out. Because what's going to happen? You're probably going to become lunch. But he's like one. And you understand that, and you understand that the way that you deal with that is what James says in James 4:7. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And then what do? You resist the devil. And what's he do? He flees. So you're obedient to the Lord, submitting yourself to him, and you resist, and it goes away. Pretty simple battle, but you've got to be aware of what's taking place and being watchful for what is taking place. Folks, we as Christians, sometimes we were like, you know what, we just don't want to be aware of what's taking place. And it's amazing, our society is getting to be to the point of, you know, we just accept what is happening. And it's and we are told, you know what, just accept everything and everybody's views are okay and all that. Folks, I'm not saying not be respectful, but I'm also saying that we need to be the point in our lives that we say what's right and wrong and what would be satanic and ungodly and what is godly and right. Beware of these things. Beware and watch for temptation that comes. You know, temptation's all around us, and we seem to think that it is an issue that, you know, it's just something we walk through in life and we just don't have to worry about it. But we need to understand that temptation is everywhere. Scripture tells us, we looked at it in chapter 10, says that there's no temptations overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with that temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And so many people say, you know what, God's not going to put on me any more than that I can handle. And that's what they're looking at with that verse. And to a degree, it's true, but I want you to notice he says he's not going to put any temptation that is beyond your ability. But why is it your ability? It's because of the Christ that dwells within you that you can face the temptation. Folks, you understand, it's the facing the temptation to turn away from the Lord in the midst of the troubles or whatever temptation that is there that you can stand against it. Folks, I'm here to tell you, when you have temptation that comes within your life, this is one of those verses that you are, as you are watching for it, you need to understand there is nothing that is happening that has not happened to someone else. And the ultimate one that it's happened to is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, no, he wasn't tempted. I mean, preacher, there wasn't even the internet then. There's no way. Yeah, I guarantee you, he is tempted in every way that we are, but without sin. So he didn't have the internet, but folks, I'm here to tell you, he still had a mind, he had a body, he had physical, he was physical, a human being. He experienced temptation, but did not sin. He was on watch for it. And so are we to do the same thing. We're on watch for it. We saw just even in the last chapter in verse 33, chapter 15, verse 33, one of the warnings that Paul gave to the Corinthians was, don't be deceived, bad company ruins good morals. And that temptation to be involved with people that believe differently than what you do and not an encouragement to you to stay faithful to the Lord. Now, folks, that doesn't mean that we aren't friends with people, but they are not the main influence in our lives. You know, it's amazing who you associate with tends to be the direction that you head. Who is important to you? Who is it that is key to the way that you live your life and the decisions that you make? If you're involved with those people that would pull you away from Christ, that relationship needs to be broken as a main relationship as you serve Christ. Avoid that temptation. You know, I've heard the deal for years, says, you know what? Well, I'll marry him and then he'll get saved. You know what? The vast majority of times that doesn't take place. You associate with those that will help you live out the Christian life. Beware of temptation. Watch out for it. Beware of apathy. Also in the last chapter, Paul states, he says, wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. You understand what was happening was, I mean, they were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, remember, in 1 Corinthians 11. He's saying, you know what, you are just guys going through this life, and you're eating and drinking, and you're just doing what you want to do. And he says, wake up. Wake up. So many people think that it's okay to just go on. You know, we just keep going on and on and on with life, and there's no conviction of sin, and there's no change that's taking place within our life. And you know what? We go to church on Sunday, and that's what we do, and then we go through the life day in and day out, and it's just the same. Not being apathetic. Watch out for that apathy that takes place. And you notice that we go on sinning, and there are those that have no knowledge of God. How many people do you know that don't have any knowledge of Him? How many? You say, well, they know who God is. Well, yeah. Man, the knowledge of who that He really is. And that He calls us to know Him. And to know His Son as Savior within their life. He says to the church at Corinth, and then ultimately to us, I say that to your shame. We become apathetic. We don't share the message of the gospel. Scripture calls us to beware of those that are false teachers. Watch out. You know, it's that idea that, yeah, whatever everybody says, that's okay. But He says, watch out. There are those that would teach us those things that are contrary to God's Word. Watch out. 2 Timothy warns us. He says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. It's one of those things that'll take place in the end times. Is people just want to hear preaching and words that make them feel good. That'll tickle their ears. And oh, wasn't that wonderful? Wasn't that sweet? Instead of challenging hearts and calling for repentance and change in people's lives. It's getting to the point that that's what's called for so many times is, can't we just all get along? Folks, I have no problem with getting along. But there's a difference in what tolerance is today. Tolerance used to be we were respectful of others and what they thought and believed, and we could hear them and not be angry at them. Now tolerance is that we all have to agree to the same thing, and otherwise you're out. It's changing drastically. We've got to watch out for those that would come in and teach those things that are contrary to what God's word is. Watch out for false teachers. But we see in the text, he says, stand firm in the faith. In Jude on Sunday nights, the main text for that book is this verse. It says, beloved, although I were very eager to write to you about our common salvation, he says, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Stand firm. Folks, you hear that? You do everything you can to stand. Did you hear it? Even in the songs today, it was talking about standing. Standing on what God's word is. Standing for what the faith is. Standing for what is proclaimed within God's word. Stand firm. Firm. Do not be moved within society. I remember several years ago, my parents would go to Keystone Lake in Oklahoma. It's near Tulsa, and we would go camping. And I remember one time we'd go hiking on the different trails and things like that. And Mom and Dad liked to get off the trails, and we'd go up. And I remember one time we'd gone off. I was probably 9 or 10 years old, and as we were off the trail, we had three dogs that, now I was 9 or 10, I don't know how big they really were, but to me they were standing up to about here. And they came up, and I mean their teeth were bared at us, and they were growling at us like they just wanted us for lunch. And I remember Daddy, he said, y'all just stand still. Now I'm sitting there looking at my daddy as a 9-year-old, I'm like, are you crazy? Let's get out of here. But I listened to Daddy, thank goodness, thank the Lord. And we stood there, and finally, they just finally just turned away, and they went away. It's that picture that's what we are to do, is at least stand for the gospel. We are not to be moved on it. We are not to be scared by those that would come up and would expose their teeth at us. It's much like as if Satan were coming at us and being fearful. As a matter of fact, we find in the scripture, this is perfect love casts out fears in the book of James. Whenever we are in his love, that fear is gone. Why? Because we know there's nothing they can do to us. Stand for the common salvation that we have. Philippians puts it this way. He says, Paul, once again, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Have you ever just stopped and thought about that statement? Is my life worthy of the gospel? Is your life worthy that Jesus went and he died on the cross and he paid the price for your sin? None of us are there. But with every ounce of our being, we are striving to live in a worthy way of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, it doesn't matter if I come. It doesn't matter if the boss is coming in to check on you. You're going to do what's right regardless. It doesn't matter if I'm here or whether I'm gone. You're going to stand firm in the Spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. You hear that? It is our heartbeat. It is what we are going to do. We're going to do everything to stand. And you notice what he says here. There's nothing that we're going to be afraid by our opponents. Folks, why should you be afraid of those that stand against the gospel? As we've said before, the worst thing that they'll do is send you to be with Jesus. He said, preacher, I don't want to go. Why not? as believers, what? We're watching for the return of Christ. We're looking with that expectancy to go. Folks, let me tell you, if you haven't settled it in your hearts and your minds, heaven is far better than this place. Amen? Man, I can't wait. Now, folks, it tells us to live as Christ. That's what we do here while we have the opportunity. And then to die is gain. All right? It's not as a picture to get out. But we look with expectancy to be able to be with Christ. But it's a sure sign to their destruction, but of our salvation as we stand. Folks, I dare say that it is going to take place within this world that we will have to stand. And as he is writing to the church at Corinth, and as it was against everything of the culture in that day, so it is today. That we've got to stand for the sake of the gospel. We may look at it in a few weeks, but that passage about putting on the whole armor of God, and one of the things that it makes the statement is do everything to stand. We'll read a passage here in just a couple of minutes out of that. But we're to stand for Christ. Some people may get offended by the statement, but he says, act like men. What is it? It's be courageous, be brave, be mature. Now, guys, whenever my dad was standing against those dogs, I don't know what was going on in his head. My family's about to be lunch is what I would have been thinking. But he stood there like a man. Now, like I said, I don't have any idea what was going through Daddy's mind. But from this 9-year-old kid, man, he is facing down them dogs like nobody's business. And standing, and he's acting like a man. It's how we're to be. We're to be grown-ups. We live in a society where it says, you know what, stay a kid as long as you can. Folks, let me tell you, that is as unbiblical as it can be. Okay? Scripture says, brothers, do not be children in your thinking, be infants in evil, but in thinking, be mature. Grow up. Think like a grown up. You know, what you shouldn't be very knowledgeable in is evil. It's amazing how much we know about evil. You can go on the internet and you can find out all that you want to about evil. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be ignorant of it. Folks, I wish I was a lot more ignorant of evil than I am. It's amazing how much that you get faced with just in life. With television and things of that nature anymore, amazing. But you mature by what? By God's word coming into your heart and living it out and applying it and letting it be worked out within your life. Not this idea of being like kids, no. Be like kids concerning evil. But in your thinking, to serve the Lord with every ounce of your being. Then he says, be strong. That text out of Ephesians 6, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Folks, let me tell you, it's one of those things that within our lives that sometimes you have to take the strong stand, and it's everything within you says no. Because you don't want to or you don't desire to. But it's time to stand. And it's time to be strong in the standing. But you notice that the strength in the standing is not in you. When you stand, when you are strong, it is in the strength of the Lord's might. Have you had those places where you've had to stand? We talked about this morning, we were looking at Abraham and Sarah and how that they had, when they had Ishmael, and we said, you know, what was Abraham thinking? Oh my goodness, what an idiot. Why didn't he just tell his wife, honey, no? Instead of listening and doing what she said. And now we got a mess. Was he not strong enough? Was he not willing to stand? Was he scared of mama? Folks, it was standing, it should have stood in the strength of the Lord. What about you? Where do you stand? Sometimes we think that we have the strength and we can do it. And Paul tells us once again in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. When you think you've got this life by the tail, watch out. Watch out. That's when you will fall. Strength is in Him. In everything of our life. There's no way you can stand on your own. There's no way that you can be brave and mature and be like a man and be strong and stand on your own. Now, you can do it, but you're going to fall. Folks, the way that we do it is that we know that Christ is the one that is in control. There's nothing in this world like standing and doing what the Lord has called you to do. It's sometimes one of the scariest things you will ever do in your life. And then to watch, step back and to see what God did through it. But you notice he closes out and he says to be loving in the text. Verse 14. He says, let all that you do be done in love. It's your motive. It's the reason that you stand. It's the reason that you're strong. It's the reason that you act like men. It's the reason that you are on watch for yourself and for others. It's because you love. And we'll spend a little bit more time on this probably next week, but be loving. Does everyone know that the reason that you do what you do in this life is because of your love for the Lord and for them? It's key. If it's just because you're right, who cares? It's because you care for them and for the Lord. We'll recall in the text, how do you know if you're doing it lovingly? You're patient. You're kind. You're not envious or boastful. You're not arrogant or rude. Doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Are your marching orders love? You see, it's not always just the make everybody feel good love, but the reason that you do what you do is because you love people and ultimately because you love the Lord. So do what? You stand. You watch, you act like men are brave or strong because you love. Do you really? Where are you in your life? Are you on watch? Are you on guard for these things? Are you loving people? Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. You say, preacher, that's an awful lot. Marching orders to do those things? Goodness, why in the world would you want to have to always be on guard and take stands that are unpopular? It's because we know our Savior. And we know that he did the very same thing as he stood against the scribes and the Pharisees within his life. And as he went to the cross and he paid the price for our sin on that cross by spreading his arms and dying on that cross and shedding his blood for us. And we know that because of what he did for us, how can we but serve him with everything of our being in our life? If you don't know Christ today, the Bible says that you are going to die and go to hell in your sin. Scripture says that's what you deserve because of your sin, because you've sinned against the living God. And you deserve to be in hell. But God so loved you, he sent his son to die for you and to pay the price for your sin. And this morning you have the opportunity to accept what he did for you on the cross and come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior today. As you do that, you come and you say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord, the Master, the boss of my life, and I want to turn my life over to you. The Bible calls that repentance, changing the way that you live. And you say, preacher, I can't. No, you can't. But it's by his strength that you can allow him to be Lord and the master and the boss of your life. And all you have to do is come and confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And you will be saved. Where are you today? Do you know him as your Savior? Are you going forth with marching orders of how to live this life day in and day out?